to ill-equipped history, where two super cool ladies, who are also best friends, tell you a cool story from history. I'm Morgan, joined by my glowing, just stardusty co-host, Emily. These intros get away from me, and I'm sorry.
I think they get better every time, honestly. I kind of like to be stardusty. That sounds fun. As long as it's not stardusty as, like, the planet that What's-His-Face was in, like, last episode.
Oh, like Xenon 45. That was
too much stardust in that motherfucker.
He was light years ahead of us.
He probably solved, like, all sorts of world problems, but...
He saw God that night.
Honestly.
And that God is Fatboy Slim.
Rumor has it he's still high.
How are you doing today, Emily?
I am well. I am well. I'm just here. Like, is that a vibe? I'm just here.
Yeah, that's I dig that vibe. I'm also just here.
I'm in the present.
Yeah.
I'm in the present.
We be vibing.
I think last week's episode is carrying over a little too much.
A little, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It's fine. It couldn't be the vodka.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
We discussed that I talked it out of my system, so.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's totally fine. Well.
It's totally fine.
Let's hop into our skeet today.
Yes. Did you hear? Chang Yi died in a storm. Crazy that an old pirate captain could still fall victim to the seas.
You know as well as I do that the seas cannot be tamed. What a way to go.
I wonder who will take over now.
What if? No. Maybe? Oh no.
What? Spit it out!
I bet his wife takes over.
Oh no! I'd take a stormy seas over her any day. She's terrifying.
I know. I've never met a scarier person in my life.
All right, ye landlubbers, weigh anchor, avast towards the shore. We be off to see our new pirate queen. Prepare yourselves. So I take it we're talking about a pirate today.
Yes, we're talking about another badass lady pirate.
I love badass lady pirates.
Me too. And the cool thing about this badass lady pirate is she is considered the most successful pirate of all time.
Fucking badass.
Yeah. So today, and what's the craziest thing is that we don't even know her name.
What?
Yeah. We only know, like, the only names we really know her by are in reference to her husband, because we are in the South China Seas in the late 1700s today. So we don't really know what year she was born. We don't know her name because, as we talked about in the Wu Zetian episode, they didn't really take records on girls that were born in China. So...
I'm making big old stank face right now.
Yeah, she's got a big stank face, so.
I hate this. Okay, proceed.
But some names that we can call her, and I'll be calling her, there's multiple ways to spell. I saw several just doing Google searches of her, mm-hmm. but she's known as Cheng Sao, mm-hmm. which means wife of Cheng, or Cheng Shi, which is Cheng's widow.
Okay.
Which I'll get to in a little bit. Okay. So our story opens not with Cheng Sao, but in the Qing Dynasty in the late 1700s in China. Things aren't great. They're fine, but they're not super great, especially with farmers. There was like some natural things going on, like some famine. And the culture of the time was not super great politically, so some farmers were starting to turn to crime. Yeah. Because when you're poor and you can't feed your family, a lot of times you turn to crime. It's just something that happens. In politics in general, they're just kind of running fast and loose at the time.
Yeah.
So warlords were starting to pop up in different provinces around China, and pirates were on the rise in the 1700s.
I love that. Yay, pirates.
Yeah. Additionally, in 1771, there is a rebellion in Vietnam called the Thay Son Movement. I think I pronounced that right. I'm not sure. I am not Vietnamese, so don't come at me.
We're trying here, okay?
We are really trying. There's going to be several Chinese names that sound very similar. I'm going to do my best. I'm not Chinese, so I know I'm going to butcher the pronunciations. I'm sorry. So the Thay Son Movement, this was an uprising. It was a revolution. It was a civil war. It was just a really big mess that lasted years. And this led to a lot of Vietnamese people fleeing to China. And a lot of pirate gangs started popping up in China, in that area of Asia, just in general. And there's also a history of, like, Chinese privateers working for the king of Vietnam. So just pirates everywhere.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, they're right on the coast, especially... our story is really in, like, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Or Southeast China. And Vietnam borders Southeast China. So. Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah. Again, like I said earlier, we don't know a whole lot about Cheng Sao.
Yeah.
We don't really know anything about her early life. We suspect she was born around 1771-ish. Okay. In 1801-ish, she was a sex worker working on a floating brothel. Which, honestly, that, like, it was like a ship that was also a brothel.
That's interesting, but all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very popular. She was super well known for her beauty, her intelligence, her charm. And she caught the attention of a man named Cheng Yi, who was a pirate. He fell in love with her and was like, please be my wife. And she was like, yes, but... I want as full of, like, participation in your pirate gang as you do.
So she
She
liked being on the boat.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to just be some pirate's wife, like, sitting at home or in the cabin while you go around gallivanting. I want just as much of, like, the share of being a pirate.
Give me a sword, bitch.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, cool, sure. And you know what? She was basically the mastermind behind the whole operation that was going on.
Good for her.
While all this turmoil is going on between Vietnam and China, all this going on, Cheng Yi is working to start uniting all the pirate factions. Mm-hmm. So this had been going on in the background for a while. And also, at the same time, this is going to be really weird. I'm going to try to explain it as best I can. Just remember, this is a different culture, a different time.
Okay.
So Cheng Yi, years before this happened, had come across, at the time, a teenager named Chang Pao. I saw in some places he was the captain of a ship. Mm-hmm. I saw in other places he was a fisherman. So Cheng Yi captured Chang Pao. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I don't know when, they became lovers, which was not unusual for homosexual relationships to go on pirate ships. But he also adopted Cheng Pao. And from what I gathered, because I was looking into this, I was like, that's very strange. Adoptions in China at this time were not, like, for kinship. They were not familial. They were closer to, like, business transactions.
Okay.
For, like, inheritance purposes. So what I assume is that Cheng Yi was like, something may happen to me. I may die. This was before he had met Cheng Sao. So he was like, I want someone to pass on my things to if something happens to me. So he adopted Cheng Pao.
Okay. Okay.
So... from what I could see, there was not, like, a father-son relationship.
Okay.
In addition to the, like, lover relationship, but it was also weird as well. it wasn't something that was super common because he still adopted him.
Yeah.
It's weird. I can't explain every single nuance of it. Anyway, so when Chang Sao married Chang Yi, she also took Chang Pao as a lover too. So there were like a whole thruple thing going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Mm-hmm. So at some point, again, I can't figure out like a pinpoint, but around 1802, so a year after they met and probably got married, Chang Yi managed to unite the pirates floating around the Kwantung province.
Okay.
And also, the Taishan Rebellion ended, so there was no more piracy in Vietnam, so they all went to China. So Chang Yi and Chang Sao united the displaced pirates under their rule. And this was from an article I read by Deanne Murray, said, quote, "While Chang Yi was a unifier and the patriarch, his wife was consolidator and organizer."
Okay.
And at this point, they had 400 junks, or Chinese ships, and in the skit I have a picture of a junk. It's not as big as, like, European ships. It's smaller, and they have these fan-like sails that are really cool looking.
I bet they're fast as shit.
Yeah. And they had 400 of them.
Damn!
And 70,000 men.
Hold on. How many is that per...
I don't know. And their entire operation wasn't just on the boats. I'll go into it later, right. But they also had some land-based operations, too.
So 70,000.
I've seen up to upwards of 80,000. And 400 junks.
That's like 175 per boat. And I'm sure they have some on land as well. You're right, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In their league, in their confederacy, they had 6 leagues. Red, white, black, blue, green or purple. I've seen both. And yellow.
Okay.
And Chang Yi and Chang Sao were primarily under the red league.
Okay.
This is another quote from the Murray article I read. Quote, "The Changs were so successful in establishing the pirates in Kwantung province that within a year they precipitated the downfall of the provincial commander-in-chief and the death of one of his leading generals, Old Tiger Huang." End quote.
Wow.
So they're like completely disrupting...
governments.
The governments, yeah, with their piracy.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. So there's a big gap in time between 1802 and 1807. I couldn't really find what was happening in these 5 years. I assume pirate shenanigans.
I was about to say, they were just sailing the seas. They were just pirating. They were pirating. Just pirating. Yeah.
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 But in 1807, Chang Yi died.
Oh.
It is suspected he died in a storm and like fell overboard, but no one knows 100% for sure. Chang Yi or Chang Sao was like, well, someone has to take over this operation now.
Yeah.
So she immediately got the loyalty of Chang Pao Yang and Chang An Peng. And these are the top two leaders in the organization. And she appointed herself as admiral over like the entire Confederacy.
And I appoint me.
Yeah. And also at some point, she married Chang Pao. I couldn't find when.
Okay.
And she appointed Chang Pao as a leader of the Red Flag Squadron. And he was, like, super respected by many of the ship captains, leaders of the Pirate Confederation. And I'll start calling her Chang Shi from now on, because Chang Shi means widow of Chang.
Got it.
She trusted him to completely follow her orders, you know, be loyal to her. He wasn't going to be pulling any shenanigans on her.
Got it.
Now she is, like... the queen of the pirate kingdom.
Wow. She went from a floating brothel to the queen of the pirates.
Of like 70,000 pirates. Her fleet, her pirate forces were double Spain's navy.
Holy shit. Damn. Get it, girl.
Yeah. So she consolidated power within the Pirate Confederacy, and she installed a system of laws that were very strict.
Yeah.
And if you broke these laws, punishment was extremely severe. So I have a list of the rules.
Oh, God.
So the first rule was a top-down order of command, which meant that you cannot act to perform any actions, like mm-hmm. a mission or pirate things, without someone else telling you to do that, like a higher up.
Okay.
If a subordinate did something on their own, they're decapitated.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, swift and severe punishments. And it's also if they disobeyed an order from a higher up, decapitated.
Wow.
Rule number two, no underhanded business dealings. Everything had to go through her. So a ship that captured booty.
Okay.
The ship got 20% of the haul.
Okay.
The rest went into a public fund for the entire pirate confederacy.
Okay.
If you pilfered from the public fund, decapitated.
It's giving the Heart Queen off with his head.
Yes.
Yes.
Rule number three. No harm came to any women that were captured.
Okay. Like you. Like that.
You're not going to like this next one.
Oh, no.
Attractive women would be sold into sex work and or slavery.
Hate that. Yeah. Hate that.
And unattractive women were let go. But no harm of any kind was to come to captured women. If a pirate raped a captive, or if a pirate and, or a captain and a captive had consensual sex, head chopped off. Decapitation.
Man, that's her favorite punishment.
Mm-hmm. You could take a captive as a wife or a concubine, because as we talked in Wu Zetian, concubines were common in mm-hmm. Chinese culture. You had to be faithful to her, or your head would be chopped off.
Okay, so the only thing that I'm seeing as negative is the sold into sex work kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Hate that.
And honestly, this didn't come up, but it wouldn't surprise me if she had her own things going on too. Like her own brothels, her own. And it never came up. I never saw anything.
But it wouldn't. It wouldn't surprise me either, I think.
Mm-hmm. Rule number four, no harm to come to allied villages. So what any kind of villages that had allied themselves with the pirates, that provided them supplies, if you stole from them or harmed from them, decapitation.
Decapitation. Off with his head.
Yep.
Yes.
And the last one, if you deserted, just your ears would be chopped off. But then you would be paraded in front of all your fellow pirates and humiliated.
So once you're in, you're in.
Yeah. And I assume if you need to leave, you can, but you can't just ditch. You can't desert. So I don't know the rules about I have a medical issue and I can't be a pirate anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Decapitation.
But she was very highly respected by all the pirates. They're She's okay, I'm coming into power. These are my rules. And they're cool.
What else were they going to say? If they said anything else, off with your head. Okay. Scare tactics work.
She also, this was super sneaky. Her and Cheng Pao, they also engage in religious manipulation. So a lot of their crew were religious.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go to temples and get signs from the gods that their missions would be auspicious, they would be beneficial, they would go well. So Cheng Pao had a temple constructed on one of the ships, a pretty really nice temple, and before a big mission he would go in and talk to the priests beforehand, hey, this is what Cheng Shi, this is what she wants them to do. We need you to say that this is fine. And so then the priests would confer with the gods and say yes, this is a blessed mission. You should do this.
How much money were those priests making?
Oh, I'm sure a lot.
God, so much. That's a big ask. I'm gonna need an extra coin or two.
Yeah. And this really helps cement Cheng Shi as not just politically, but religiously as well.
Wow.
But she's a very intelligent woman as well. She knew that just pirating on its own is not going to be enough to sustain like 70,000 crew. So she gets involved in the salt trade.
Of course she
Which
does.
Was extremely profitable.
Wow.
There were salt mines all over the Kwantung province in southeast China. So what they started doing is there were like merchants and I think even some government ships that were involved in the salt trade, and the pirates kept capturing the ships. At some point, I can't find a date, but at one point, only 4 of the original 270 salt junks were outside of pirate control.
4 out of 270?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, they were making money hand over fist.
So then what happened is that the salt merchants were like, fine, we'll just deal directly with you. And so now she set up a protection ring for all the salt merchants to do their trade. And in exchange, they bought at very exorbitant prices, they bought protection from the pirates. And this started extending to landowners and villages by 1809.
So they're basically just paying the pirates to not pirate them.
A little bit, yeah. I think they're also paying them so they wouldn't be attacked by, like, other pirates.
Yeah.
That weren't in their gang. You know, there was, like, official government-sanctioned privateers that would attack merchant ships. So, it kind of was kind of like, we won't attack you, or we won't capture you if you pay us, you know?
Yeah.
It was all that kind of stuff going on. So Changxi started establishing headquarters in major provinces along Southeast China and in the, I don't know what you call it, just like the Southeast Asia general. Like, I don't know how much they went into like the Philippines or anything like that. I saw Macau was brought up a lot. So she had major provinces along the Southeast of China. Mm-hmm. She had agents acting on her behalf to collect money for protection deals, buy weapons. She even had a tax office in Canton.
Oh my god.
Where people like paid taxes to her.
Hi, I am the government, so pay me.
Yeah, thank basically. You. And Macau in China was super lucrative in his business practice and made a lot of money from protection deals from fishermen and merchants. She also understood the necessity of not just exploitation, but establishing good relationships with people. The pirates provided some goods, but they mostly traded in information.
Okay.
And this included with bandits and intelligence agencies in the different local governments. This is also prevalent in the actual government. Some of the best providers of intelligence were government officials, and not even government ships were safe from the protection racket. Like, it basically came to a point, like, you could not leave the harbor if you didn't pay for protection papers.
I'm just imagining her ships just literally outside the harbor, and it's almost like a security checkpoint. You have to sail up, go next to her, they check your papers, and you go on. Like, yep. She wants to make sure that you paid your money for us to not attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Changxi was an indomitable force. Under her leadership, she cultivated a fighting force that was virtually undefeatable. She was an expert strategist. She was comparable with any great military leader. And she also ensured pirate wives could fight on the front lines with their husbands.
Good for her.
Yeah. She's most of the way there.
Yeah.
So we're backtracking a little bit, because this is all like from... This is all within 3 years, between 1807 to 1810, that she established all of this going on.
Jesus Christ. She had a busy 3 years.
I know. Yes. So we're backtracking down back to like 1804, when the pirates were like all over the place. The Cantonese Navy was not willing to leave the shore. And because they were so afraid of the pirates from attacking them. And so they would literally, if they thought there was a pirate close by, they would shoot guns. So the pirates would, like, avoid them.
Just go a little further.
Because they didn't want to get attacked by pirates. They were like, we're here. We have guns. Don't come close. And they're like, okay. And quote, by the end of the decade, The situation had deteriorated to the extent that military personnel, afraid to go to sea at all, were sabotaging their own vessels so they wouldn't have to go out where all the pirates were.
Oh my god.
The pirates would overwhelm land-based garrisons too, so it wasn't just naval attacks. They were starting to go, like, attack land-based military
operations. Well, yeah, they're out of ships because no one wants to go into the ocean. They have to go to the people now.
And, of course, they were super well-trained in hand-to-hand combat.
Of course they are, because do you think she would let that slide? No, decapitation. No. You're not good enough with a sword.
Yeah. And in 1808, the Chekiang provincial commander-in-chief was killed by the pirates when he sailed into Kwantung. Oh. So it's a lot. One day in 1809, her pirates captured 5 American schooners in Macau, captured a Portuguese ship, and blockaded a tribute mission from Siam. In one day. All that happened.
Oh, it was probably just like a Tuesday for her.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we just captured like all this stuff.
Cool, cool. Thanks for the schooners.
Yeah. American schooners. The government was desperate at this point. Cheng-Chi and her pirate kingdom were unstoppable.
Yeah.
Well, they perceived them to be unstoppable. So the Cantonese government were negotiating with the British and Portuguese governments to help them stop the piracy going on around China. So now Westerners are like coming in, yeah, and like doing pirate battles and all that. So in 1810, things are starting to deteriorate.
Okay.
Things within the pirate kingdom are starting to deteriorate. Captains are starting to... No one's going against Cheng-Chi, but the pirate captains are starting to butt heads with each, yeah, other. There's also, Britain had a trade, like an opium trade going on with China, and that was being disrupted as well. There's just a lot of things going on. So Cheng Pao came forward with the offer to negotiate with the British, and he agreed to refrain from attacking British ships, mm-hmm, but I couldn't see what he was going to get in return.
Okay.
I couldn't find what that was. But nothing really came of it. And the Portuguese were also keen to negotiate, and Cheng Pao said that if they loaned him 3 to 4 man of wars, he would give the Portuguese some land after he conquered Macau. I also don't know if that happened either. I don't think it did.
I think they were all scared to actually do anything.
Yeah. Well, Cheng Pao was like, well, you give us like 3 to 4 of your biggest warships, will conquer Macau, and you have like 3 to 4 provinces,
yeah,
in Macau. Don't think it went anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I also think at this point, I think a lot of people were kind of tired of being pirates. I think Cheng-Xie knew this. So on February 21st, 1810, Cheng-Xie and Cheng Pao met with the Liangquan governor and Miguel Jose de Arriga Brum de Silveira, who is the second highest official of Macau.
What a name.
I know.
Damn, get it. I love that.
That's quite the name.
It's quite the name. It seems so official and like, I don't know.
It's a very nice name.
It's a very nice name.
So the governor general demanded they give up all their ships and weapons. And Cheng-Xie and Cheng Pao wanted to keep 80 junks and 5,000 crew.
Okay.
They came to the meeting with 260 ships and 14,000 men under just the Red Squadron.
Wow.
And they wanted to also get full pardons for not just them, but for everyone in their pirate confederation.
Okay.
They were like, nah. There was a stalemate.
Yeah.
And negotiations went back and forth and nothing was really agreed upon. And finally, on April 8th, 1810... Cheng-Xie went without Cheng Pao. She only went with some other pirate wives and children to meet with Pai Ling, who is the highest official in the province. She demanded not just the 80 junks and 5,000 men that she started the negotiations with, but an additional 40 junks to continue her salt trade. She was steadfast and obstinate in her side of the deal. She didn't listen to any counteroffers Pai Ling made. And she was like, if you don't do what I ask, I'm just going to continue pirating.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And met her demands.
What a negotiator.
So 2 days later, all the pirates surrendered to the governor general without any fuss. And Cheng Pao and the other pirate leaders were given official military and government positions.
If you can't beat them, let them join you.
Yeah, that's really. And this is another quote from the Murray article. Quote, for Cheng Yi's wife, ambition did not end with her retirement from the sea. For just as she had propelled Cheng Pao's meteoric rise through the ranks of the pirate hierarchy, so too had she made possible his second equally spectacular rise through the ranks of the imperial military bureaucracy.
Wow.
So she just not only propelled herself, but propelled her husband's too.
Wow. Damn.
Cheng Pao was quickly promoted to colonel because he was a pretty effective, like, strategist and good at military things. And Cheng Xi immediately used his rank to her advantage.
Of course.
Quote from Murray again. In 1821, she petitioned the government asking for the relevant title, despite the fact that for remarried widows, such a conferring of rank was illegal. But the stipulations of the law notwithstanding, Cheng Yi's wife seemed to have prevailed and therefore thereafter referred to herself as a wife of an official or Ming Sao.
She's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to have this title. I know I'm not a pirate anymore, but I'm still scary as fuck. So I'm going to do what I want. Thanks.
Break the law for me. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
And everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, okay. You know what? That's fine. My head attached to my neck. Sure do. Like it combined. It is so,
like, I have two depictions of her in the skit. The one's like an artist rendition of her being super badass.
She's terrifying.
Yes. And then the second one is, from what I can gather, is a photo of her. Like an actual photograph of her.
Well, she's very pretty.
She is very pretty. She was known for her beauty. And she also looks scary as fuck.
Yeah. That is mastered RBF. That is, I don't give a fuck. That is probably the sword that took a mini head.
It was.
And also, okay, so let's look at the artist's rendition. If you look at the men's faces, they're scared as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the, they're like, mm-mm.
Nope. One guy's literally like has his hand by his chest. He's like, oh no.
He's
clutch. Another guy is shooting at her and she's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's just like, nah, I think I might like not die today. That would be great. Mm-hmm. And you guys are gonna be headless.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty badass.
She's so badass. I've been like staring at the picture of her with the sword, like this whole time, kind of envisioning her doing all these things. I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
So another big time skip.
Okay.
We're jumping from 1810 to 1822.
Question.
Cheng Pao.
When was she born again?
1770-ish.
Okay, so 1770-ish. So by the time that she retired in 1810, she was about 40-ish. Ish, give or take. Okay, I just needed a... Yeah, got it, timeline.
So in 1822, Cheng Pao died. I can't figure out what from.
Okay.
And Cheng Xi returned to Kwantung, which is where she was from, with her children.
Okay.
I've seen varying accounts of how many children she had. She had a couple with Cheng Yi. She had a couple with Cheng Pao.
Okay.
Not 100% sure.
Cool.
She lived out the rest of her life in relative peace. She had some brothels and some gambling dens in Canton.
I'm sure she was loaded so she could just do whatever she wanted.
Yeah. And I just like how she continued like the kind of like underbelly actions going on.
Good for her. I mean, she knew what she wanted to do and she did it.
I'm almost done. This is going to be a shorter episode today. So this is another quote from the Murray article. quote, significant perhaps in Mrs. Chang's story is the reversal of the old phenomenon of marriage as an avenue of upward mobility for women. Instead, marriage to Chang Yi's wife appears to have been an avenue of mobility for the men. She aided Chang Yi by enabling him to transform the refugee pirates from Vietnam into a formidable confederation of which he became the undisputed head. Then she permitted Chang Pao to rise within the pirate hierarchy to command the Red Flag Squadron and to make the transition from outlaw to official.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I was thinking about earlier is that in the other pirate episodes that we talked about, their lives ended very tragically. Mm-hmm. Their way out of piracy was basically death. And, yeah. I mean, by the hands of the government. And she was so stubborn that she just would not allow that to happen. She's like, no, I think you're going to pardon all of us. And we're actually going to be part of your government now. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think that's very different than how we depict typical pirates. Because we're like, they're outlaws and they stay outlaws. But she was smart enough to find a way out without death. I mean, she yep. bullied entire countries for like a decade and then was just like, I'm bored of this. I think I'm done. Okay, I'm forgiven. Like, she forgave yeah. herself.
And she made government officials like follow her lead.
Yeah. Who was going to tell her no?
No one.
No.
And what's crazy is that any pirate who surrendered would be placed within a respectable position of society.
Oh my God.
Like, it was like, all right, like, we're just going to pretend you're never a pirate at all. And actually, you'll be given, like, ranks and honors yeah. and, like, be seen with honor.
Yeah. Actually, in fact, here's some land. There you go.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
on.
Here's a little money.
Yeah.
Just don't do pirating ever again.
Yeah, I was about to say, now I'm sure that they had some stipulations. Like, you can't just go yeah. back to pirating. Your pirating days are over. Mm-hmm. But we'll forgive you this one time. If you go back to pirating, that's on you.
Yeah.
But, okay. Wow. God bless.
And she was so highly respected by not just those within her confederacy, but those outside of it, you know? Well, and like I said, she's considered one of, if not the most successful pirates of all time. Like, I was reading something that I think, like, Blackbeard, who's one of the most notorious pirates of all time, only mm-hmm. had, like, a couple thousand crewmates at one time. And he died, like, a really horrible, violent death. Where she had, like, double the naval force of Spain under her command.
And she's honestly just, like, dicking about. She's just doing whatever she feels like she wants to do with yeah. absolutely no repercussions. I mean, I'm sure mm-hmm. there were some, but, like, nothing major, like...
Not that I could find.
Being
like,
dead.
She pirated. She had a protection racket. She was in the salt trade. And then she was like, all right, I'll surrender on threat of continuing to be a pirate.
Yeah.
And you're just going to give us all good life? And they're like, okay, that's fair.
How threatening...
That's a fair deal.
How threatening of an existence do you have to have to, like I said, bully the shit out of governments until they give you not only pardons, but allow you to join their ranks.
And I'm still cracking up at, like, she added to her own deal, which she was initially like, I want 80 ships and 5,000 men. And they're like, no. She was like, I want 80 ships, 5,000 men, and 40 more ships. And they're yeah. like, okay.
Like, you've wasted my time. My decapitating sword is getting a little antsy. You want to... And you might want to agree before I start adding on more shit.
And what a power move to, like, show up to this government official's, like, I don't know, palace or house or whatever, with no men, just yourself and some pirate wives and children on your ships, and be like, this is my deal.
I bet every one of those women knew how to fight.
Oh, 100%. They all fought on the front lines with their husbands. They were all just as much pirates as anyone else.
I'm imagining 5-year-olds with swords, just like Spartan style, being able to... Jesus Christ. Oh, God. She's a complicated woman. I love her.
Yes. And Changxi died in the 1840s.
Okay.
In her late 60s or 70s. Again, not 100%
sure. I mean, that's a pretty good lifetime for that time range. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, like, in the 1800s, like, living to your 70s, that was definitely, like, good job.
Wow. And in an industry for the first part of her life that was so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even a brothel isn't, like, the best place to be. And things can happen. Well, I mean, I guess things could happen anywhere at any time. But, yeah, she's giving me the vibe that she just survived because she chose to. She embodied it.
And not just survive, but, like, rose to, like, complete power.
She thrived.
Yeah.
Wow.
By being cold-hearted and very intelligent and not giving any shits.
I mean, I guess she loved her husbands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, she seemed pretty faithful to her husbands. I mean, there was, the thing with Cheng Yi and Cheng Pao and how they were, like, a throuple. I don't know all the details behind it. I don't know if it was secret. I don't know if it was, like,
out.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. A lot of the sources, which, I mean, I really only have a few sources because it's kind of hard to find some things about her.
Yeah.
Some things were contradicting. So, like, I saw a couple sources that said one thing and another source said something else. I was like, okay, I'll, like, look at these two. But my sources were Changxi, the Pirate Widow Menace of the South China Sea by Biographics on YouTube. I have a link to that video. There's a really cool article I found by D.N. Murray called One Woman's Rise to Power, Chang Yi's Wife and the Pirates. I found out on JSTOR. Used our new subscription to that. That was pretty cool. A couple things about the Taishan Uprising, called the Taishan Uprising, Society and Rebellion in 18th Century Vietnam by Ku Bun Dar. And finally, the Chinese Female Pirate Who Commanded 80,000 Outlaws by Urvija Banerjee.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, that's Changxi.
I like how one of them called her a nuisance. Was it a nuisance?
Called her a what?
What was it? What was one of the titles? It was like
the Pirate Widow Menace.
The menace. She kind of was a menace.
To everyone else.
Literally everyone. What a bully. Oh my God. I didn't think I'd actually like a bully. But here I am.
It's okay to have complicated feelings.
I'm rooting for her.
Yeah, and she lived, like, a long life. She lived a quiet life, successful life.
That is incredible. Well, that was a wonderful episode, Morgan. Even if it was short, but, like...
Nice little nugget.
I loved it. I love her. These ships, I feel like we're not talking about these ships enough because they're really cool looking. The sails on them look like... I don't know how to say... They look kind of like waffled.
They're very fan-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's a bunch of other different styles, too. Like, if you look up Chinese junk, there'll be a bunch of different types of junks to pop up. And actually, when I was watching the video, it kept saying junk. And I was like, what is he saying? And it wasn't until I read it, I was like, oh.
A junk.
And it's called J-U-N-K.
That's interesting. They're small. Like, I'm sure they have different sizes, like you said. But, like, they seem pretty small. But I don't know a lot about boats, as we've all established. It looks fast. Like, it looks like it would be a quick boat.
Yeah. Because it's small, it's sleek.
Yeah.
It's got really big sails.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, its size.
Yeah. And, you know, like we did establish in the last pirate episode we talked about, some of these pirates would come up. They didn't have these big monstrosity of boats that you imagine they would have, because it's easier.
They had sloops.
Yeah, it was easier to come up on other boats in smaller boats.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes sense. You ready to get into socials?
Let's do it.
Cool. So, if you liked it, you can find us on Facebook page and group.
Ill-Equipped History Podcast page and group.
Instagram
@ Ill-Equipped History.
You can email us at
illequippedhistory@gmail.com.
And we have a TikTok.
At Ill-Equipped History. We have really funny videos when we remember to upload.
And last but not least, we have a Patreon.
Patreon.com/illequippedhistory, where you have access to bonus episodes. And we're going to play a little clip of this month's bonus episode.
Just a little teaser.
Just a little teeny bit. A
little nugget. No one thought at this point that the princess and Dodi were actually seeing each other. And that they were only guests. And according to Trevor and Kez's accounts, even within the whole month, they're thinking, why in the hell is this woman dating this guy? He is in his 40s and doesn't do anything. He literally does not do anything. He has to ask his daddy for money. What, she can do so much better than this guy. Why the hell? And their personalities don't match. Like, she's a go-getter. I mean, by all accounts, Dodie's dad is a go-getter. Mm-hmm. Dodi, not so much. He's just kind of living on. Like, literally, Dodi would do something and his own bodyguard would call his dad and be like, bruh, your son is...
is a mess.
is a mess. And at the time, Dodi had a fiance.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit is right. And they were to be married on August the 9th.
You're shitting me. Oh, my God. No. Oh, boy. Okay.
Her name was Kelly Fisher. And this is also... sketchy as fuck. Remember, Diana and the boys went down on July the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Fisher went down there to Saint Tropez, but never encountered the princess and the boys because fucking Dodi had her on another boat and would go back and forth.
Oh my God. Doesn't it make you want to come subscribe to our Patreon?
Do you want to get more of the tea? Then subscribe for $5 a month. You can listen to the whole episode. I think this one was like 2 hours and 40 minutes long. So
it's almost 3 hours.
She a long episode all about Princess Diana.
I think most of our episodes are about at least two hours long or close to it. So you definitely get your money's worth.
Absolutely. You definitely get your money's worth. It's like $2.50 an hour per month.
Yeah.
And we send you a sticker.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And I think we've been talking about starting to sell like t-shirts maybe. And so we're trying to think about how we're going to go do about that. If that's going to be like a Patreon exclusive, you know, however we want to do that.
Yeah. So if you have any suggestions, let us know. We don't know.
Tell us how to do our job, please.
Yeah, please. Somebody needs to. Okay. Should we let these people go?
Let's go. Have a great Thursday, and we'll see you next week for our 50th episode. Almost the anniversary.
We're old and we're married. 50th episode. Jesus Christ.
It's not our anniversary yet.
Not yet.
We're getting close to it, though. It's in May.
Oh, my God. It's like May the 4th, right?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I have to check our release schedule.
Okay. Well, don't... if you have a pirate queen, don't not do what she says. She'll cut your head off.
Yeah. Listen, one, either listen to a badass pirate queen, or two, become a badass pirate queen.
Solid advice. Words to live by. We should get that tattooed on us. Become a badass pirate queen. Okay.
Next t-shirt idea.
a picture of her off that just says off with your head. I love it.
All right.